guys. Adam Hoge here. If you enjoy the Hoge and Johns podcast, and if you're listening to this, then I assume you do, please check out WGN Radio's new live podcast, Sports Central. I'm hosting it Monday through Friday, and you can hear it live from 1 to 2 p.m. on WGNRadio.com and the WGN Radio app. But we're producing it like a podcast. You can really listen to it whenever you want. Just search WGN Sports Central on iTunes, the Google Play Store, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Hoge and Johns is still the place for your hardcore Bears talk, but there's still plenty of football chatter on Sports Central, and we touch on all Chicago sports as well. Hope you'll give it a listen. In the meantime, let's go.
We'll look at the tape.
Hoge and Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hoge.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Okay, welcome in from Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. It's been a while, Adam, as we jump back into the podcast. We haven't gone anywhere, and this is episode 147 of Hoge and Johns. We are staring at the bench press, where they've set up stands for the second year in a row to make this a fan-friendly event at the NFL Combine.
How many do you think you can do? That's 225 pounds up there. It's not the photo op ones over there that everybody's taking pictures with. It's the real weight there.
Two.
Two? I want to see this. Let's get you up there.
I don't even know if I can do one. Oh, man. But, yeah, this is apparently what the fans come to see. It was actually kind of exciting last year when they had these stands full and players were going at it. And I think it's got to give the players some adrenaline, too, I would think. You know, crowds cheering you on, get that one last rep in there.
Or make them really nervous and slip, or you know, their hands will slip. Either way, I guess it's another gauge of the player's character here at the bench press. We'll call it a contest.
Well, you can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, Hoge, at Adam Johns, Jahns. You can read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. And, of course, find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, everywhere you listen to your podcast. It's available. And please subscribe, rate, and review the pod if you don't mind. We got a lot to catch up on because we haven't had an episode in a few weeks. And because Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy both spoke to the media this morning here in Indianapolis, we're going to play both of those in its entirety for you. So if you missed it, you can hear the whole thing. We like doing that for you. But just to hit on a couple things. First and foremost, I remember we did this podcast last year here. And that was the first time we had heard the Mike Glennon rumors. Mm-hmm. And if you go back and listen to that episode, I remember like how flabbergasted I was at even the idea of the Bears signing Mike Glennon for the money that was being reported. And I think they ended up signing him for even more than was being reported. And now, exactly a year later, as we do this Combine episode again, Ryan Pace telling everybody today that Mike Glennon will be released. So long, Mike Glennon, after all that.
Yeah, it's only fitting. This is where his Bears era began, and this is where it will end. Now, he's officially still a Bear to March 14th. There's basically his contract specifies that he cannot be released until then, but no one is shocked. This move was coming when Mr. Trubisky was drafted. Mike Glennon basically became a one-year rental, an expensive, albeit a very expensive, one-year rental of, what, $18.5 million. So he made out quite nicely from the Bears' interest in him here last year. But once Mr. Trubisky was drafted, his storyline changed. But it is fitting. Phil Emery would call it synergy. Synergy. Began here. It ends here for Mike Glennon.
Yeah, and it happened really quickly. It's going to be interesting to see where he lands. I imagine he'll get a job somewhere. Just some conversations I've been having here in Indianapolis already. Tampa's been thrown out as a place. They wanted to keep him last year. They offered him a contract to stay. It was nowhere near what the Bears were offering him, so it was a no-brainer for Mike to leave. But I can't imagine he's going to make that kind of money this time around with Tampa, but if they want him to come back as a backup to Jameis Winston, I could see that happening.
these quarterbacks have amazing longevity. It doesn't matter who you are. I mean, look, it all matters about situation and how you fit in a locker room and what you can provide off the field. But, guys, backup quarterbacks. Mark Sanchez is still in the league. Chase Daniel has been rumored, you know, to have some Bears interest. He's only been a backup in the league, and he's like in his ninth year. So these guys have longevity. Everybody always needs a quarterback, especially an experienced one. It helps. And he's a nice guy. You always need nice guys in your locker room.
So before we play the Ryan Pace, and it's 23 minutes long, so there's a lot to it, and you know, quite honestly, he gave us some things today. So it's worth listening to. But before we get there, you and I were just talking before we started recording that there's a little bit of a different feel with the Bears this year. You were the one that brought that up, so kind of explain.
Well, there's no more cliches. There's no more goofy, is this a crisis or a carnival or whatever you want to use from any John Fox-ism. It just feels different. Maybe it's because Pace and Nagy are really the same age. They're very similar in personalities. They carry themselves very similar in front of the cameras with us and even kind of off to the side and stuff. So there seems to be a different vibe. I think maybe Nagy's more in line with what Ryan Pace has always wanted in his coach. That's my general takeaway, just in terms of personality, demeanor, and we'll see what that means for player acquisition. But they just seem more in line, more in sync with each other than him and John Fox ever were.
Which is something you'll hear from Ryan Pace talk about at one point in his media session today, just the importance of being on the same page with the head coach, which in some ways is amusing to hear because of how Ryan Pace and John Fox clearly were not on the same page at the draft last year, but you know, a lot of reasons go into that, and I think that's part of the reason why John's not here anymore. Ryan wanted somebody that he could trust all the time and be on the same page with, and so far these two, you can just see the similarities and the thinking and them getting along because they're just very similar people.
As you'll hear from the Pace interview, they're it doesn't feel like they're starting anew, but really they are. It's a fresh feel in by shedding all these contracts, all these aging over 30 veterans that were brought really for John Fox to be competitive. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace get to start anew together in a sense. Yeah, you got some returning players. There's already a foundation being built over the past 3 years, but they could add a lot of important pieces together. The Bears are different under these two now, with them combined. So I don't know if it's encouraging. I don't know if it's discouraging yet, but there is definitely a new feel amongst those two.
All right, well, we'll give you an opportunity to hear what Ryan Pace had to say first. Like I said, it's 23 minutes. It's pretty long. It's extensive. As we always say, it's a podcast. So if you don't want to hear the whole thing or you'd rather just hear from us, you can fast forward about 23 minutes and you don't have to hear it. But we know a lot of you guys do want to hear it. So here it is, Ryan Pace meeting with reporters today in Indianapolis.
Welcome to Indy. Busy, productive week ahead of us this week. You know, a lot goes into the combine beyond just the player workouts. We have the medical. We had the nighttime interviews that we actually started last night. So it's a productive time of year. We come to the combine with the coaching staff fully intact. Matt's done a really good job of assembling his staff. Scouts have done a lot of good work up until this point. The combine's just another step in the process. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Kyle Fuller, no franchise tag. Franchise tag, what are you going to do with him?
Jeff, we're still evaluating that right now. Obviously, we like Kyle, and he had a good season, and we're happy with the way he's progressed. But those are things that are on the table. We're just still evaluating that process. We have some time.
Last year, you didn't have the combine before the deadline. I think the deadline was before. What is the benefit of being around this? Does that help you better gauge what the market would be for Kyle?
No, I don't think so. I think the assessments we make on Kyle are internal, and we've already gone through a lot of those evaluations, and now it's just communicating with his agent, and the different avenues that we have right now.
Ryan, this first stretch of working with Matt, what has stood out to you about him and working together with him?
He's extremely passionate about this. The collaboration is very natural for us. He's highly intelligent, but he's also very, very humble with that. Which I think is a real attractive trait.
When you said last month that he'd bring a fresh voice, how would you describe what his voice will be for this team?
Matt's naturally a very energetic person. He's also kind of a very creative, outside-the-box thought process, which is nice.
What have you learned about what he looks for in players?
You know, just as we learn more and more about just his philosophy, especially on offense and what he wants to do, it's getting our scouts on the same page on that vision and what fits. But Matt's one of the attractive things about Matt also is his flexibility. So it's really, hey, this is what this player does best. Let's put him in positions to maximize that.
What are you thinking about backup quarterback next year?
Yeah, you know, we're going through that right now. Just a lot of evaluations in place right now, whether it's the draft or free agency. There's a couple options. We've said this before. There's no more important room than that quarterback room, so we're really mindful of who we pair in that room.
How's Mike Glennon fit into that?
You know, Mike Glennon, just to be transparent on that, you know, I've talked to Mike a lot recently. Obviously, there's a mechanism in his contract where we really can't release him until the start of the new league year. So that's kind of our plan going forward. We've been transparent with Mike, and that's how that'll play out.
What about Sanchez? Any value in him coming back?
Yeah, you know, he did a good job this year. You know, obviously, all the things that we value with him is his veteran leadership and his experiences. And again, he's a free agent.
Right.
Those are all evaluations that are ongoing.
Does he express interest in coming back?
Yes, yes, yep.
Ryan, with Purnell gone and Sam Houston or Sam Hacho and Lamar Houston unrestricted, how big of a concern is getting an edge rusher to go with Leonard Floyd this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, pass rush is always a priority for us. You can never have enough pass rush. So that's it's a position of need for us, and it's something we're looking into.
Yeah. Ryan, just to confirm, they will release Glennon once the new league year starts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ryan, how difficult was parting ways with Purnell? He was your first free agent signing as GM.
Yeah, you know, all those decisions, as you guys know, are very personal, and those are tough ones. It's a hard part of our business. For us, it's especially when a new staff's coming in, it's making those assessments, going through those evaluations, and then as soon as we know, just being decisive with the player and having some urgency to it, especially before the combine, I think it can benefit those players.
Ryan, what was the thinking behind the draft decision?
Again, just, you know, every year we sit down with the staff, we evaluate our entire roster. You know, every player is carefully analyzed. And as we went through it, you know, we just had a decision to make if we were going to exercise the option in this contract, and we decided against that.
Was part of that a confidence in the health of Kyle moving forward?
Yeah, you know, we feel good about Kyle's working hard. You know, we feel good about his progress. So, yeah, that's part of the equation.
Where do you envision Cody playing next year?
Yeah, Rich, the good thing about Cody is, you know, his position flexibility gives us some flexibility as we go through this player acquisition period. So we'll go through free agency, we'll go through the draft, we'll see how the dust settles. But once that player acquisition period's over, I do think it's important for him to kind of settle in at one spot. But right now we have some flexibility with that.
Brian, what's your reaction to your running back, Jordan, saying you guys are going to make the playoffs? And also saying that you guys need receivers first and foremost.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate, you know, his passion and his swag, for lack of a better word. He Jordan's confident right now. Jordan's a positive guy. You know, Matt and I, we like to keep some of those things a little more in-house. But Jordan's just being positive and optimistic.
And the receivers, we know you guys need receivers.
Yeah.
I
think that's an area you can get better in quickly, you know, through free agency or the draft. It's always a deep position, usually in both areas. So it's just our communication with our scouts and our coaches, just getting on the same page on what players fit our scheme.
Ryan, how much does Matt's offense change the way you evaluate the kind of offensive lineman you're looking for?
Yeah, I think, you know, when mistakes are made in organizations, it's when the personnel department and the coaches aren't on the same page. That continuity is important. That chemistry is important. I think it's naturally already existing with us, just in the constant dialogue that we have. And I think you eliminate mistakes when you do that. If you share a vision for a player, then it helps eliminate some of those mistakes.
Ryan, how much weight do you guys put on the NFL Combine, both you and Matt?
Yeah, you know, I think you got to be careful with, we talk about it every year, with all the measurables, getting too caught up in that. I think what's more important for us right now is the interviews, the medical information. That's important. I mean, the measurables and the testing, it's part of the pie, part of the equation. But again, like we always say, what's most important is what we see on tape.
Yeah. You've had to release some free agents that you've signed the last couple of years. You've released a couple of them last year, too. Did you change how you're going about free agency? You've hit on a guy like Hicks. Trevathan's been a nice player for you. Massey's been okay.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of reevaluate that.
I think, Brad, there's always risk in free agency. We talked about that. You know, a lot of times guys become free agents for a reason, and we're mindful of that. You know, and I think as we continue to build our roster more and more through the draft, maybe we won't have to supplement as much in free agency, you know, but we have to be mindful of that. It is risky. I think we've done a good job of structuring the contracts where, you know, we can get out of some of these, but you know, it's kind of treacherous waters, and we just have to be careful as we go through this. I think, you know, having familiarity with some of these players, we have coaches from multiple, you know, other teams. We have, even in the draft, we now have college coaches on our staff that has background with some of these players. I think that helps in the process.
In terms of relates to Mitch, what do you like most about the combination of Matt and Helfrich and Ragone as a sort of a three-man team that'll be working?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just surround your quarterback, you know, who's your most valuable asset, with a lot of good resources. And we feel like we've done that definitely with the coaching staff. And they all kind of bring a different perspective to the table. It's neat to walk into the offensive meeting room and see them collaborating and bouncing ideas off each other. It's definitely that kind of relationship. And it's just, you know, it's gonna be interesting to see it play out. It's definitely a creative offense.
How would you define Brad's role in that as an advisor or a manager?
Yeah, I think, Adam, I think, you know, as we get in this ramp-up phase of this offense, you know, Matt doesn't have really a lot of guys from Kansas City. You know, Matt did a good job of just bringing guys from all different areas, and really all around the league and college football. So with Brad, it's, hey, here's a guy that has some background in this offense. So when Matt's pulled out of those meetings, the other head coach obligations, that thing can keep on rolling with Childress in there.
What kind of dialogue have you had with Fuller's party? And is it possible to get an extension done before the tag deadline?
Yeah, those conversations are constantly ongoing. So the dialogue's been pretty aggressive, and we'll see how it plays out.
When you talk about releasing free agents, and with Mike being gone, that's four captains from last year's team that are on the way out. Where do you see the team from a sense of leadership, and who are your guys that you're looking to?
Yeah, you know, it's a young team, Rich, and I feel like there's a lot of guys in the locker room that are kind of ready for that role. I think that organically has to happen as we go through this process. But I think it's a young team, and those guys will naturally emerge as we go forward.
Do you have any people that you look toward in particular, aside from maybe Mitch, whose position obviously makes that sort of natural?
I just think Rich has got to play out. It's got to play out as we go through the offseason, as we go through training camp and into the preseason.
Well, when you watched the Super Bowl and you saw Alshon have the success that he had, what were your thoughts watching him succeed like that? Do you have any regrets? And will the way that you handled Alshon and the tag affect your thinking with Kyle Fuller at all?
You know, Dave, I think as we've gone through the last 3 years, you know, there's a lot of roster turnover. There's a lot of players that we've moved on from, players we've added, and that's just part of, you know, the life that we're in. Happy for Alshon, proud of Alshon. When those negotiations are going on, there's a lot of factors involved, as you know. I don't think it affects how we handle Fuller or anything like that going forward.
Will you release any other players besides Glennon before you get to March 14th?
Yeah, and just to be transparent with you guys, and just so you guys know, Willie Young will be another player today that we'll be releasing later on today. We've spoken with him. We've spoken with his agent, so you guys are aware of that.
What went into that process?
Again, it's just, you know, we sit down as a staff. It's kind of it's good to have some fresh eyes and new looks, and we evaluate the whole roster. And again, as soon as we make those decisions, we're pretty urgent with communicating that with the player.
Ryan, how are you balancing? You have a ton of cap space again, but you mentioned the treacherous waters and what you've gone through the past 3 years. What's that balance like this year, maybe compared to your first couple of years as GM?
Yeah, you know, it's a big responsibility we have, and we always, you know, use the word discipline or calculated. Those are all things that come into play. But, you know, hey, we're in a good position. We have, you know, we have a lot of cap space. We have a high pick in the draft. We have 7 draft picks. We feel like we have a coaching staff we're excited about. We have a quarterback that we want to build around, and now we just got to make the right decisions the next 2 months.
Can you be a more attractive destination in free agency with the new coaching staff that isn't in a winner else with a young quarterback? Does that make Chicago maybe a better spot?
Yeah, Brad, I think that's real. I think when you look at a free agency, for the most part, usually comes down to the money, to be honest with you. But I think a lot of times when you look at it and you see stability with the coaching staff, you see a quarterback that's in place that, you know, we feel good about. I think those are all attractive traits when people view our organization.
How would you assess the pass rush at this point with the roster? You know, McPhee's gone, Willie's now gone, you've got Leonard. You know, what else? What do you see from him?
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, with Leonard, you know, we feel good about Leonard. Akeem Hicks is going to provide a lot of pass rush. But yeah, that's, you know, as we go forward, I think, Rich, we're always going to be looking for pass rushers, and outside linebackers an important position for this defense, and it's something we'll be mindful of as we go through this process.
Ryan, you've been here 3 years. Right? Moves you're making this offseason, you got a new coach. Does it feel there's a sense that you're starting over?
I wouldn't say that. I feel like, you know, we have a young foundation. Our best players are all young, ascending players. We feel like we have the most important position in place. So, Now it's just kind of building upon that foundation.
What about with a young quarterback? Is it better to have veteran receivers like through free agency than it would be to go through the draft? Or is it better to grow with young wide receivers? Or does it matter?
I think it's just a mixture. You know, just evaluate the talent and just get the best guys in here that fit our scheme.
What about Wheaton and Cooper?
Yeah, those are all roster decisions we're still making. Those guys are under contract, and that's just part of our ongoing evaluation.
Ryan, with this incoming draft class, all the study that you do, all the years you've been in this, what do you like about this group as you're going to be talking about?
Yeah, just like every year, there's certain positions that are deeper than others, and we're always hesitant to get into that, you know. But, there's and for us, you know, there's some positions that align this year that are very deep in this draft that are happen to be positions of need for us. So it's exciting. You know, again, this is another step of the process. I'm excited for our coaches' evaluations to come into play over the next couple months. It's a good group, like it always is. We just got to make the right decisions.
Ryan, how important is the combine to identify the right guys to plug into the system and make Matt's offense successful?
Yeah, I just think, you know, at the combine, it's getting to know them as people. You know, our scouts have a good feel for them from going through the schools, but, you know, sitting with them face-to-face with our entire coaching staff, it's important, you know, and really get a feel for their football IQ. That's important during the combine. That's something we feel like we can evaluate, even though it's kind of a quick interview. You get a quick snapshot of that. So those are all important factors.
Right. Over time, what have you found are the biggest challenges in evaluating receivers coming into the draft, and what makes that position a typically tough evaluation?
Yeah, I just think sometimes, you know, the knowledge base of an NFL offense is just, you know, it's pretty big. You know, it's a pretty big jump. So just understanding, you know, the difference between some of these college offenses and our offenses and the jump in just verbiage and amount they're going to have to take in.
What's the most unusual question you'll ask over the next 3 days?
We have to be cautious and careful of that. It's you know, honestly, David, it's pretty structured with our interviews at night. We only have 15 minutes. So when they come in, we're not shaking hands. They're sitting down immediately, and we're right away getting to the tape, getting them on the dry erase board, getting a feel for their football IQ. Because if you try to capture too much in that 15 minutes, you're not going to get anything. So we focus more on the football intelligence aspect.
What were your final interviews? Do you remember one that stands out as being really impressive that made it, you know, remember?
Trubisky. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, he was good. Last night, we had four last night, and We kind of letter grade them as each one finishes. And as always, there's a couple that really jump out. There's a couple that don't. And I think, again, it's just part of the equation. And you got to be careful, too. A 15 minutes putting too much into just that. There's a lot more that's going to take place. There's a lot of work our college scouts have done that really go years in the making.
When you get Mitch back in the building later this spring, where do you want to see him mentally coming off of the offseason?
Yeah, it's going to be good for him to kind of take the reins. You know, this is his team, you know, as he goes forward. I think that's going to be important. So, you know, he's going to have to learn a new offense now with Matt, and so that's going to be important. So it's just going to be getting him up to speed with the new verbiage of this offense.
What were your final takeaways of his rookie season? What did you like? What did you not like?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, obviously the physical traits are all there. I don't think any of that surprised us. I think what was good to see was just his natural leadership with his teammates. Some of the things he's doing behind the scenes, you know, kind of in the shadows that might go unnoticed to a lot of people. It's very natural for him. He's a natural leader. His work ethic, he's very passionate about this. I mean, it's really a 24/7 job for him. I think to be a good quarterback in this league, you have to be obsessed with being great, and I think Mitch definitely has that.
Ryan, 3 years later, what has surprised you most about your job, and what do you feel like you've had a pretty good handle on for the job?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I don't think anything surprised me as we go through this. I just, you know, when you take a job, you know, it's going to be a big undertaking. There's a lot of work to be done. So I'm just excited where we are right now. I feel like we have a really good locker room. We have a young team with a lot of ascending talent, and I'm really excited about this coaching staff. So now it's just making the right moves this offseason to put good player talent around that.
With Leonard, his injury was kind of fluky, but how did you think he held up physically in year two?
Good. He's added strength. He's added some size, which I think, you know, is just going to help as he matures as an NFL player. His rehab couldn't be going better, and just the way he's attacking that. So we feel really good about the progress that he's on.
Do you think he'll be ready for the offseason program?
Yes. Yeah.
With the benefit of hindsight, why didn't Glennon work out better?
You know, I think, you know, we, as we said, you know, we're always we were going to be aggressive at that position. You know, we were going to take swings at that position and be aggressive at the most important position in really in sports. And so, you know, there's a kind of multiple factors that go into that. But I think the thing that stands out as I look back is it was really Mitch's acceleration too. So there was kind of twofold. And I can just sit back now and be happy that, hey, we have a guy we feel good about, a young quarterback that we want to build around.
Brian, in this period between January and the offseason program starting at Hales Hall, what did you emphasize with Mitch on what you wanted him to get done as he went off and went to work on his skills elsewhere?
You know, obviously we can't do a lot of communication now, but he's, you know, with Mitch, you don't worry about that. You know, he's got really good agents. He's got really good people around him. And so he's just going to I never worry about his work away from the building. So we know he's working hard. We know that focus is there. And we're excited to get these guys back in early April and kind of build upon that.
We haven't talked to you since you rehired Vic. What did that move do for the program? What did you have to smooth out with Vic after, you know, passing him over for the head coaching job?
You know, it was good, Rich. And really, when we interviewed, you know, Matt, you know, Vic was his top candidate as defensive coordinator. So, you know, and ultimately that's Matt's decision. So it was good for that to all, you know, transpire like that and maintain continuity on defense. And I know the players are excited. I know Matt's excited. I'm excited. And so now there's stability on defense, and we just got to add more talent to it.
Ryan, you mentioned you wanted receivers that fit your scheme. Clearly, you guys have an idea now. I mean, it's early, but what that scheme might look like. Mm-hmm. Can you give us an idea of what those receivers look like that would fit into that?
You know, it's for
that trace they have.
Yeah, you know, I think it's hard to get into some of those details here. Again, there's a lot of flexibility with this offense. So football IQ is important at that position. You know, we got to, you know, there's a lot of different alignments and with that position. So we just got to be mindful of the football IQ as we go forward.
Cornerback to one of the deeper positions in free agency.
Yeah.
When you look at the Kyle situation, like.
Yeah, you know, I would say cornerback this year in free agency and the draft is a good position. So that's beneficial to us.
Ryan, do you have a sense of some of the injured guys in terms of if they'll be available in April? Kevin, Cam, Leonard, Kyle?
Yeah, you know, all those guys, I think really most of them will kind of be building in through the OTAs with the anticipation of them being ready to go for training camp. You know, it's hard to put timelines on these guys because, you know, those variables change. But we feel good about where they're all at right now.
What do you expect from Kevin White? Is he a guy you count on to play like a big role in the
offense? Yeah, you know, and I think the good thing with Kevin, with it being an upper body injury, is he's been able to run and work on his route quickness and those type of things. And now, you know, he's kind of got a chip on his shoulder now. So we're going to add more to that room. But, hey, I think, you know, Kevin, it's just unfortunate with the injuries. But we're still excited about where he's at.
Where do you evaluate
the training staff? Where do you see change? Where will be most beneficial?
You know, we had an opportunity to kind of revamp that whole area. So new strength coach, new athletic trainer. You know, with a new coaching staff, there's changes in practice schedules and things like that. So it's kind of a whole revamped area. It's something we talked about. It's something we wanted to address. We like the people that we've added in those rooms. Some different philosophies in different areas. And now it's just all that chemistry coming together as we go forward.
Right. How does the sports science still fit into that? Obviously, Jen appears to still be part of the program.
Yeah, I think, you know, sports science is becoming bigger and bigger in our industry. I think we got to be careful you don't bite off more than you can chew, especially at things like this at the combine. You get hit with so many different products. Sometimes you can do too much. So it's just be mindful and strategic with what we're using. Jen's a big part of that. But it's really a collaborative relationship with Jason, Andre, and Jen.
So just in terms of the injury problems overall that have obviously, you know, hurt you, some injuries different than others, obviously, but you're not looking at sports science to say something that needed to change or something that was affecting that injury situation.
Yeah, I don't think too much. I mean, we're still used to player tracking data. I think that's a tool that every team's evolving with more and more. But I wouldn't say sports science was a huge issue with that.
Brian, after you guys released Quentin Demps, is there a confidence that Adrian can kind of build off what he did last year? Is he still kind of cemented there with next to Eddie?
Yeah, you know, Adrian's a good young player. You know, there's some continuity that's developed between him and Eddie. You know, he needs to continue to improve. You know, we think he is. He's still a young player. But, yeah, you know, I think there is some confidence at the safety position.
Will with you guys the wide explore receivers, maybe extending the Amos for Golden Knights or contract here in your own draft?
Yeah, those are the things, you know, we're talking about now behind the scenes, different extensions beyond player acquisition period.
Do you think that all the moves you're making, creating all the cap space that you have, creates a false impression that you're going to be really aggressive at free agency? Or how do you
yeah,
think that?
David, I think that's probably a good statement by you. And I think, you know, agents will use that, you know, around, you know, to kind of to pump that up, you know. But, I just think, you know, just because you have cap space doesn't mean you can be reckless, you know, with these decisions. So we have to be strategic and disciplined and calculated as we enter free agency.
With the receivers, how do you balance what Cam did in 2016 with the injury and then with what you guys need to do at receiver?
Yeah, you know, with Cam, it's just closely evaluating where he's at, listening to our doctors and trainers and just you know, following his progress and where he's going to be, you know. So, you know, again, you know, receiver is a position, as we've talked about a lot today, that it's a need position for us. Unfortunately, we had a lot of injuries there. But it's a kind of assessing where each one of those guys are in their rehab and then also looking to see what our options are as we go into the draft and free agency.
And how would you think you've done in free agency in the 3 years?
Yeah, you know, Rich, to be honest, it's free agency is risky, as we've talked about. You know, there's been a couple big hits. We've talked about Akeem and Trevathan and things of that nature. But there's also some misses, and I think that's the nature of free agency. And I think the less you can dabble in it, probably the better. But in order to do that, you have to be drafting well and developing those players, so you don't have to be as aggressive in free agency.
Do you go back and do self-scouting on your own evaluations of, you know, players that don't work out or
of course, yeah, and that applies to free agency and the draft. You know, that's important to go back and look at, you know, myself and our entire personnel department on every one of those decisions, and just like anything in life, learn from those and get better from those.
Right. How many QBs do you want from a backup quarterback? What kind of skills are needed in that system?
Yeah, you know, I think first of all, you need to be able to come in and win. You know, if something happens, I think we just saw that, you know, in the Super Bowl. But I, you know, and I think, you know, but again, the chemistry in that room is important. You know, you're there for the starter. You're kind of in a supportive role to help him grow. And we have a younger quarterback, so we have to be mindful who we pair with him in that room.
Thanks,
guys. Top 7. I can't get into that. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
So there's Ryan Pace in Indianapolis, and just kind of hitting the headlines there, at least the news pieces. We talked about Mike Glennon. He will be released. They have to wait till March 14th. Ryan Pace also saying Willie Young will be released. He said today, right, on Willie Young, it should happen. So Willie Young will move on. Add Pernell McPhee to that list, and all of a sudden the edge rushers, there's not many on the roster right now, so they got to work on that. In terms of other injuries, he did say that Leonard Floyd would be good for the offseason program. Who are the other injury guys? Kevin White, Cam Meredith, probably on different timelines, I would think. Kevin should be good to go at this point. But Cam, coming off the ACL, he's probably still got a little ways to go. Of course, Leonard Floyd's injury wasn't as severe. But good news there. I think a big topic, though, early in that conversation with Ryan Pace was Kyle Fuller and whether or not they're going to use the franchise tag on him. They haven't yet. I don't know that they're going to. $15 million is a lot to give Kyle Fuller for 1 year. And I'm just kind of guessing, feeling out the situation. I kind of feel like he's going to hit the open market at the end of all this. And I think the hope is that the market will, I don't know, it's going to be like Alshon Jeffrey's situation last year, but maybe it'll be more of a lukewarm market than Kyle's people are thinking. Part of the reason, because it's actually pretty saturated and pretty deep at that position in both free agency and in the draft. And then I think the hope is, from the Bears' standpoint, that Kyle will realize his best opportunity to continue his career is in Chicago with Vic Fangio in this system where he's already had some success. So in that way, I think it's a lot different from Alshon a year ago. I think there is mutual interest in him staying in Chicago.
Yeah, Alshon Jeffrey wanted – he definitely wanted out. I think I've said that 1,000 times on this podcast already. Didn't want to be with the Bears. At that point in free agency, didn't have Mitch Trubisky, so obviously Alshon didn't believe in the direction the Bears were headed. I think Kyle Fuller kind of does. Obviously, he wants to get paid, and he knows cornerbacks, they always get paid. Stephon Gilmore and A.J. Bowie, they're good cornerbacks. Not exactly your Darrell Revis in your prime, not exactly Ty Law's, but, I mean, their annual averages are $13 and $13.5 million, respectively. That's a lot of money for, again, non-household names. Good cornerbacks. Can fit in systems, can do a lot of good things. I mean, obviously, Stephon Gilmore turned out to be a pretty good signing. A.J. Bowie turned out to be a good signing for the Jaguars. Kyle Fuller is 26. Cornerbacks always get paid. He's a former first-round pick. You know these teams always go back to their draft evaluation. So this is a guy, by all accounts, who was widely seen as a first-round pick at worst, a high second-round pick. So there's going to be a lot of – I think he's going to have a market, a better market than Alshon Jeffrey had last year.
So just guessing right now, do you think he ends up as a Bear?
Yes. Yes, I do think they come to an agreement. I don't know. See, people say if you franchise tag him, the $15 million becomes part of negotiations. I think it already is, right? Because knowing that Bowie and Gilmore got over 13 last year and the market always goes up, there's going to be competition for him. And it should be already part of the conversations already, knowing what that price is expected. Now, it's not official yet, but it's expected to come in over $15 million. I still think they find common ground. Maybe you fill it up with full of incentives or you guarantee him a lot over the first 2 years. But I think he knows that his best case scenario for success, his own individual success, is probably with Vic Fangio.
I think that the Bears still want to see more from Kyle. I think that they, and rightfully so, it's fair to be skeptical that, hey, why did it take till year four, and why is there only one good to slash great year out of four? And then the one thing I always go back to, and I just cannot get out of my head, is that as well as Kyle was playing last year, teams never shied away from throwing at him. They were avoiding Prince Amukamara. They kept throwing Kyle's way. And that is something that is significant, because that tells you that opposing offensive coordinators felt like that was the better route to go.
You know what? Teams also threw a lot at Marcus Peters, the Chiefs' all-pro cornerback. So I think it's still – I get your point, and I get why that's brought up a lot, but it can still be misleading. You know, maybe – Prince Amukamara had Eddie Jackson over the top more than Kyle Fuller. Maybe Kyle Fuller was left more in one-on-one man situations while the other side played some type of zone coverage. There's all certain different types of variables. I just think that the Bears know Kyle Fuller better than others, and I think Kyle Fuller knows the Bears better than others, and you think that would lead to some common ground. This is not like Alshon Jeffrey, where there's some uncertainty about quarterback, you know, offensive identity and stuff like that. The entire defensive staff is coming back. Vic Fangio and his entire crew is coming back. That type of stability should encourage a Kyle Fuller, at least I would believe.
Yeah, I would think so too. And it's interesting to think back on that. If Fangio had not come, how we would be looking at the situation now. But I think that does help the Bears' case, as well as the amount of corners that are out there available to teams, both in free agency and the draft. So that's going to be fascinating to watch over the next couple weeks, as whether or not the Bears tag him, or if he hits the open market. Does he go day one? Does it take a couple days? I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns in this situation with Kyle Fuller, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that just over 4 years hasn't been consistent, and so that makes it a little bit of a murky situation there. Trying to think. Anything else stood out to you from Ryan Pace's conversation with us?
Well, do you want to get into Mitch Trubisky, or do you want to hear from the coach first? Obviously, he talked at length about what he liked and disliked. Maybe not disliked, but what he saw from Mitch, you know, as a rookie.
Yeah, let's go ahead and just play Matt Nagy then, and then we can come back and talk about what they both had to say about Mitch, and also the backup situation now that Glennon's going to be gone, where the Bears go in that direction, because I think that's a significant storyline as well. So here's Matt Nagy. This is about 15 minutes, so a little bit shorter. And again, if you don't want to hear the whole thing, you can fast forward about 15 minutes. Otherwise, here is Matt Nagy in a different setting at the podium with some media members outside the Chicago area involved in some of the questions as well. But here's Matt Nagy in Indy.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the process here is studying that offense, defense, special teams. And so my side of the ball being on offense, coming from that side, being able to see what we have there is fun. And so, yeah, there's some needs, but that's with every team in the NFL right now. So, you know, Ryan and I have, and the coaching staff have gone through it, and we've created a plan for it. And you see that there's a strong nucleus there. And now it's just a matter of just finding some pieces and going with our plan.
specifically then with Mitch, what have you learned from the more experienced stuff?
Well, what you see with Mitch is kind of what I already knew is he's a, first of all, the person you can see it on tape from what he did in regards to his interview last year at this combine. And so you can see that in the style of play. You see him go out there and he goes in and he plays hard. You know, he makes some really special throws, and he's learning the tempo and the speed of the game. So for him, just understanding, getting in and out of the huddle, being able to get up to the line of scrimmage and then make a play, there's a lot to that process. And so as you can see the growth of him as he develops throughout the year, that he's improving and getting better and better. And for somebody like myself and our staff that comes in, that's really fun.
What sold you on that? How did you pick up on that when you were assessing the situation?
Well, during the season, obviously, you don't know that. You're so focused on your team, and for me, with dealing with the playoffs and getting into that. But as it goes on, you kind of see where they're at and the direction, and then you start talking to Ryan, and you start talking to management as to where they want to be and what they're looking for. And like I told you earlier a few months ago, it was a perfect match, and it was just knowing that they're going to give me, the coaching staff, and everybody else that comes into that building an opportunity to succeed as best as they can. That's what you look for as a first year head coach. And so knowing that the direction they're going to give you the resources to try to make that happen was what I was looking for. Communication, without a doubt. Unbelievable communication. Zero ego, which is when you get into the interview process, you say that and you want to believe it. But now that I've been almost, 2 months into this thing, it's real. And so he makes it easy for me because there might be some things that we disagree slightly on here or there, which is normal. But at the same time, we both respect each other. And honestly, there hasn't been too many disagreements. It's been more togetherness. And his communication is really second to none. And I appreciate that. And it's reciprocated from me to him. And when you have that, you get that partnership and that relationship, which is what we looked for in that interview. Well, it's important for me to, number one, understand that I'm not just on offense this year. You know, this is the whole phase. So all 60 interviews instead of 30, number one. But that I've always I'm a football junkie, and I just appreciate the game and the different positions that go about it. So I'm not just an offensive guy. And so being able to – I'm intrigued to go into the defensive side and the special team side and be a part of that. So I look forward to that.
Exactly what you want to run offensively.
Yeah, we have a good idea. Again, the obvious answer to that is that we're going to continue to do some of the things that we did in Kansas City, but we're also going to grow. And so we're going to create our own identity. It's going to be Chicago Bear football, and that's it. So I've been fortunate enough to have a great staff throughout offense, defense, special teams, and offensively. You know, we're getting in there, and these guys on staff are coming from the ground up. They don't know anything, so we got to start back like they're rookies again, and they are. So we'll create our own identity, and they're going to have their ideas. I'm going to be open to all that, and that's what really you look forward to then when you get into the phase one.
When you start talking to some of the wide receivers that you meet here and start watching, what are some of the things you're hoping to learn about them and what you look for in that position?
I like looking for guys that are just natural receivers, guys that know how to play football. It's easy to get caught up in some of the other stuff, but at the same time, that's why we're here, and that can maybe move a guy because of a 40 time. It might move the guy because of another test that he has. But for me, it's nice to be able to be in the interview process, get to see how they are as people, what's their intel. How well do they reciprocate what you talk about? How do they recite what you say? And then you kind of get an evaluation of that. Again, I'll tell you, last year at this time, we had Mitchell. And again, he was quiet and introverted and scripted. Then we were fortunate enough to get him for 6-7 hours afterwards, and we got to see the real Mitchell. So you got to be careful as to how much stock you put into these interviews.
How much can you lean on some of the assistant coaches you have who have been college coaches recently? Or probably some of these guys in some cases coached them.
Yeah, a lot of stock. And so you get these guys specifically on offense with Mark Helfrich and Harry Heaston. You got two guys that know the college world. And so for me, I'm crazy if I don't use their knowledge. And so there's going to be times where I'm elbowing them and asking them a little for some hints here or there on these guys. And not only, and again, with a guy like Charles London, our running backs coach, here's a guy who again was at Penn State with Coach O'Brien, and so he's been in that college world. So for me, I'm going to use them as resources, take everything that they say seriously, and you know, that's a benefit that we have on our staff.
Look at the Chiefs' offense and try to get an idea of where Tyreek Hill stands out on that team. How does Tariq Cohen compare to him?
Well, number one, size-wise, you see that and you say, okay, they're pretty similar, right? And then you have the speed, the shiftiness, the moves, everything that they do. They're similar in the fact that you can move them around and do different things. As you see on tape, the one thing, if you go back and look at simple numbers, you're going to see that Cohen can run the ball a little bit more from the backfield. Not that Tyreek can't, but so they're different. So I don't think it's fair to compare them. But I do understand why people compare them. And for me, I'm very excited to be able to coach both of them and look forward to working with Cohen.
Man, you guys have moved on from a bunch of veterans, especially on defense. Is there anything that you're getting younger, faster, older?
Not necessarily. I think, again, it's part of the process for us, for Ryan and myself and the coaching staff, to just formulate, okay, what's the direction that we want to go and how do we want to do this? And so for us, it just so happens to be a few guys that are, you know, higher in age but it has nothing to do with that direction per se. We're going to keep going through this process. There's going to be some ups and downs throughout that, but nothing specific.
What should we lead on?
Really just a good feel for to see how our coaching staff evaluates, you know, the communication process of for some of our guys, it's their first time here, just so they get to see how it goes, watching these guys down on the field and seeing what these guys do, and then for me, just big picture, again, I keep going back to it, but just again, the whole process, not just the offensive side, but understanding everything.
And as you look back and looked at Trubisky, when did you see him
game? I think what you could see is just some of the trust in his throws. You know, he has a strong arm, so we all know that. But being able to trust it, and what happens naturally is the game slows down for you the more and more experience you get. So that's a benefit that he has going into this next year with us getting him, is that he has game experience. You know, he's not somebody that's coming from the classroom. And so just trusting every throw that he makes, you could see from where he started to where he finished, that was a big growth right there.
Just in general, how would you characterize the differences between the offense that you want to install
Well, I mean, again, that's hard to say. As far as comparing, I don't want to do that to last year's offense. And, you know, they had their style. Everybody has their own style of how they go about running their offense, and that's to each their own. And so the last thing I'm going to do is compare our offense this year, what we'll do to them. But what I will say is that I'm looking forward to fitting his strengths into our offense to make it work. Excuse me? Well, it's important. Free agency is important because there's parts that you can fill. There's holes that you can fill. You don't want to live and die through free agency. You know, you're here at the combine for a reason, to be able to draft players and develop guys. And so there's that balance of drafting guys, developing them, but also finding pieces of in the free agency that fit what you're looking to do, not only as the player, but as the person too.
How are you coaching or training yourself to make the transition?
Well, the first thing you notice is, and I was reminded of this by Coach Reed and Coach Chile when this process first started, is when you get into the office and you put a couple things on your desk, what to get done, that's not getting done until 6 o'clock at night. So there's a lot more to-dos as you go. So for me, it's just trying to balance my time management, and which is easy. That part's not hard, and it's actually fun. I look forward to it. So obviously Doug and I coached together in Kansas City, and the things that they did. Now we started our deal in Philadelphia with Coach Reed. Coach Reed had the West Coast offense going strong, and so what we've done is we've kind of tailored to some of the college stuff that's come out and to the way that these players are playing. And so offensively, it was fun for us. It was refreshing, and we just started to grow. So as Doug goes to Philadelphia and he has other coaches that come from different worlds, they're gonna talk through what works and what they like. And so you saw with Philadelphia, they had a lot of success this year. They had fun with it, talking to the guys, and that's what we're gonna do. And we're gonna put our own little spin on it and see how our guys fit. But again, I don't know that exact answer until we get into the different OTAs. Yeah. I like it. I like it.
Coach, what's your evaluation of Adam Shane and Kevin White?
Yeah, they're different in regards to age, obviously, and their situation. So with Adam last year coming into the situation, again, a guy that's a little bit raw coming from a smaller school but has a lot of talent. And I don't like to use the word potential, but he has talent. And so for us, it's going to be really neat to be able to try to fit him into our scheme and see where he fits. So it'll be, Coach Kevin Gilbride will do a good job at getting him, teaching him the offense when those guys get in here and having them understand what we like to do within the offense. And so we're excited about him. And then in regards to Kevin, again, Kevin is a guy that you see he hasn't had a lot of games played in these last few years, and we understand that. But for me, that's a challenge as a head coach. You love to see those type of situations, and you don't make any promises that anything's going to happen. But you see a kid like that, you know kind of his road and where he's at, and I look at that as a personal challenge to try to get him to a place where we want to get him.
What do you value most about your relationship with Brad Childress, and how do you envision him sort of working?
Yeah, so that's a unique situation with Brad. So, and that was something that kind of came on late. It was a situation where we're kind of using it as a ramp up period for me, and for our team is you get to a situation as a head coach where you're pulled in different directions. Well, one of the things that you run into is there's no one else on our staff that knows really our offense. And so again, like I told you earlier, they're learning this offense. Well, for Coach Chile to come in here and be able to be in that room. And if I step out, for him to be able to come on in and just keep that thing going, that's invaluable. And so it just made too much sense. And here's a guy with all the experience that he has. He can help me out as well as things that I can look forward to, look to in regards to being a head coach and try to stay one step ahead. So that part's been great. I'm really excited about that.
I'm curious to know your reaction on basically guarantee you guys in the playoffs next year, and then two parts of that. Where does he stack up?
Right. So, number one, you know, we can't talk to the players right now, so it's hard to be able to say, hey, you know, listen, here's the deal. But what I like about him is that he's excited for the process and what's going on. But at the same time, you know, hey, the message that we're going to send loud and clear to our guys is let's take this step by step. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's understand the process, and let's do it through our actions, not through our words. And he gets that. So I appreciate his candidness. I appreciate his want to be great. He's excited. You can't fault the kid, but let's just understand where we're at and that. So, and then as a player for Jordan, you know, you get to see it's interesting because you watch him on tape and you see his style of play and it's unique, but it's a good unique, you know. So he's a tough runner that has some he has a style where he's able to be elusive for his size, but yet he can still make that first down run on fourth and one or short yardage. And so it's intriguing for us as a staff when we watch tape to see him, to be able to see how we can fit his style of play into our offense. And I think it feels right.
Two more here, guys.
Backup cornerback, you know, Ryan told us that Glennon's going to be released. Does Mitch still need a veteran in that room? How do you want to attack that?
Well, it's a good question. That part of the process for us right now is we're in the middle of it. So we're evaluating, okay, which direction do we want to go? We've gone the route of having a more experienced guy, veteran type backup there. We've also gone the route of having a younger guy that's there, a developmental guy. So we just have to see how this whole thing plays out here in the next few weeks and months. But you know, Ryan and I, again, part of the communication process, we have a direction, we have a way that we think we're going to go, but we're going to keep that between us.
What sense did you get from Mitch watching his games, his 12 starts, his ability to understand when to throw the ball away, take sacks early in his starts versus toward the end of the year?
Well, it improved, and again, that's natural that's going to happen, and that's situational football. And so that's something that we're going to really, you know, really harp on is being able to understand when to throw the ball away, when to not take a sack to get out of field goal range or et cetera. So he'll learn that. And we just have so much to get into here. Once those guys get here, there's a lot to start with, and that'll be down the road. But it's not far away. And so for us as a staff, we're juiced up for the guys to get in here and put all that other stuff aside and just start coaching football.
So I found a couple things interesting in there. One, his you know, when we talked to Nagy after he got hired, he really wasn't able to give an opinion on many of his players because he hadn't had the time to look at them. So I felt like today certainly they've been through the tape. They've had all the meetings. They have a good idea of this roster. They've started to make moves already by letting go guys like Josh Sitton and Pernell McPhee. Some of that's contract. Some of that's health. Some of that is fit in what Matt Nagy wants to run. So it was interesting, though, to hear what he had to say about Mitch and kind of his evaluation of what Mitch did last season, because he knew a lot about Trubisky coming out from doing the homework last year when the Chiefs were interested in him, but he didn't necessarily dive into the tape from his rookie season yet when we had talked to him last month.
And now he has, probably two or three times over. What did he say? He liked the decision-making. He liked the sureness of his throws? Is that something he kind of said? It was his answer to my question, what he liked. Kind of on an incremental basis, game by game. Again, it all goes back to decision-making and his thought process and making those throws and being more sure of those throws.
Well, the idea that the game was slowing down for him as the season went along.
Yes, yes. So the Pace and Nagy keep going back to some of his intangibles. And I think that, to me, if there has to be one overarching takeaway of what they think Mitch Trubisky could be, it's what did Pace say, that he was obsessed with being great, and you want your quarterback to be like your hardest worker. You know, love or hate Jay Cutler, he never had that reputation. Guys like Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, of course Drew Brees has that relationship with Ryan Pace, they have that type of reputation where these guys are just relentless in the pursuit of being an amazing quarterback. Mitch Trubisky, according to what the Bears have seen firsthand and what Matt Nagy has seen and heard through his conversations, seems to have that. So that's an encouraging thing, I think, of the utmost importance to hear for Bears fans.
Yeah, there's no question, and I that's something I've been hearing so far this offseason too. I know just following Mitch's Instagram a little bit, he's was out in California, I think, a little bit recently, playing a little bit of golf, and was on Family Feud. Celebrity Family Feud, but for the most part, I think, has been in the Chicago area working really, really hard. I've heard that he's been doing some work at Northwestern, actually, in their facilities, just throwing a lot. And I don't think there's any question that there's the rare quarterbacks are all obsessed with being great. They're just obsessed with it. And I don't know how good Mitch is going to end up being. A lot of his career still has to play out. But I would be very encouraged by the fact that he seems to be trending in that direction with the guys that are just constantly working on their craft, constantly working to get better. And just hearing some of the stories of where Mitch was when, like, even training camp started last year. After OTAs, after mini camp, the things that, you know, remember him struggling with taking snaps under center, and just the commitment by him to get over all that and learn. I think honestly he made the Mike Glennon situation easier by being more ready than they thought he would be at that time. You know, the plan was not to be him starting week 5 against the Vikings. It worked out that way. A, because Glennon was bad, but B, because he was picking things up very, very quickly.
Remember that? Yeah, let's call it a short-lived concern about the snaps.
Yeah.
He had like one bad day where everybody freaked out. And did he fumble one snap in the regular season at all? Other than, and I know he had a couple fumbles, but a snap? I mean, Cody Whitehair had his issues, but in terms of one under the center, I can't recall one. I can't call it.
Yeah, I can't remember him dropping one. maybe one, maybe dropping one. But no, I mean, most of the snap issues were, it looked like I'm more on Whitehair.
Was there one on fourth down, or is that, am I going back to Jay Cutler now? I'm losing all my, there's been so many quarterbacks, even in just like a 3-year span, but we're besides the point. I think the physical stuff will come along with Trubisky, you know, once he starts throwing with whoever's the Bears receivers are, whoever their tight ends are, all the footwork stuff, that'll come in time. I think he's going to be, again, relentless in that. I wonder how much tape he's watching right now of the Chiefs and what they do, even how much tape of the Eagles he's watching and what they do, obviously because of the Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy connections. I'm sure he's, I mean, forget Netflix. I'm sure that's what he's watching every single night. It is tape of Alex Smith, tape of some Carson Wentz, who he knows because they share the same agents. Just knowing, you know, how he is and how obsessive he is, I imagine that's what he's got TiVo'd for sure.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where the Bears go now from a backup quarterback standpoint because, as Ryan Pace pointed out, yes, it's important that they bring in somebody who can help Mitch and continue to bring him along. And I got to say, as tough as the situation as it was with Mike Glennon last year, the kid deserves a lot of credit for sticking with it and helping Mitch throughout the season because, you know, it was supposed to be his year. It was supposed to be Mike Glennon's year, and it just wasn't. So, although in some ways 2017 was Mike Glennon's year because he got out of it with 18.5 million dollars. That's a pretty good year.
Right, 2018 is still his year. They're giving him $2.5 million this year. I mean, 16 and 2017, $2.5 million. You know, Mike Glennon's, he's had a couple good years for playing some really bad football, 4 games, not to mention all the bad practices he had. I'm not worried about Mike Glennon and his stability whatsoever.
Right. So where do they go from here? It's well, what I was getting at was Pace was saying, yeah, that's all important, but you got to have a guy who can also come in and play if Mitch gets hurt, and we saw that in the Super Bowl with Nick Foles, somebody who can come in and operate the offense. Yeah, I still look back at Brian Hoyer's under contract with the Patriots, but probably would have been smarter to re-sign him last year and keep him around because he proved to be pretty much what you want out of a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I understand or understood, I should say, Mark Sanchez's role on the team last year. They kept 3 quarterbacks. Mark Sanchez was there to teach Mitch Trubisky how to be professional, to talk to him about the expectations of being a high-round pick, to talk to him about being a quarterback in a major market where there's pressure. That was all great for Mitch Trubisky as a rookie. Now the dynamics have changed. You get a new coach. You got Dave Ragone there to be a sounding board. He comes back as Mitch Trubisky's his form of continuity. Do you really need Mark Sanchez? Maybe you find a younger guy. Is that Chase Daniel? I don't know. He's been a backup forever. I mean, at least Mark Sanchez has some starting experience. But there could be a quarterback out there who's not even available on the free agent market yet that could be a decent guy in the locker room and a decent backup if needed to play should Mitch Trubisky get injured. But I would have more questions now, I think, if Mark Sanchez returns in the same role because obviously the roles, the dynamics, everything has changed around the Bears and especially Trubisky.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can do worse from a playing standpoint than Sanchez. There's certainly worse backups out there, but we also don't know what Sanchez can do. It's been a long time since he's played, like really played. So that would kind of be a question I have. And by the way, just getting the official release of Willie Young as we record this podcast, which was supposed to happen at some point today. So Willie Young officially is released by the Bears. So the Chase Daniel would just be the Matt Nagy Kansas City connection. But again, he's somewhat of an unknown, like you just pointed out.
Yeah, like I think he has, 2 starts in his career? If that, I forget the Pro Football Reference numbers, but it's nothing like what Mike Glennon has considerably more experience than him. And look, you never want to go to your backup quarterback, but don't underestimate the value of having to play the guy or the concern of having to play a guy like that. You can't have a Caleb Haney situation. You got to be better prepared for travesty or a breakdown in Trubisky for whatever reasons. You need to be prepared. And look, it could be Mark Sanchez. Again, the starting experience, like you said, brings value. But the whole role of having a mentor, you know, a big brother around Mitch Trubisky, I don't think you need that anymore.
Yeah, and Pace did hint that there is mutual interest. That he said that Mark Sanchez has expressed a desire to stay in Chicago, and there seemed to be at least a mutual conversation there. He is a free agent. But I think that that's an important storyline this offseason, is what the Bears end up doing behind Mitch Trubisky. Anything else from today that really stands out? Matt Forte retired. Announced his retirement. One of the better Bears running backs, certainly in the conversation on a long list of good Bears running backs. But he had a really, really good career, and over the last 10 years since he was drafted, the stats still exist that he had the most yards from scrimmage, which is that matters, man. He was an underrated running back.
Very underrated, very good player in terms of like replacing. Pace, the Bears get criticized to no end for not replacing a Brandon Marshall, not replacing an Alshon Jeffrey, not replacing a Martellus Bennett. They replaced Matt Forte rather quickly. Jordan Howard's a Pro Bowler. They share the same agent, ironically enough. Tariq Cohen has come in and added a new dimension to that backfield. But in terms of now in the Bears, and I don't think they missed, and this is with all due respect to Matt Forte, I just think the Bears have been able to replace him. I don't think the Bears regret moving on from Matt Forte a couple of years ago.
No, that's a perfect example of moving on from a player at the right time and not waiting too long. So it'll be interesting the next couple of weeks. I think the Bears are going to be active in free agency. Maybe there's one contract that is a little bit higher than we've seen in the past few years. But Pernell McPhee was a pretty big contract. I think there's going to be a lot of guys signed because there's just not a lot of bodies right now. Especially like edge rusher. It's like Leonard Floyd and Sam Acho. They got to find guys.
I think Sam Acho is a free agent too. I saw a stat the other day on Twitter. There's like an estimated $1 billion or something available in free agency this year for obviously a lot of players. I don't know how many teams are going to spend it. I really don't. Here's my thought on the Bears in free agency. You know, they get criticized for missing on Mike Glennon, Marcus Cooper, Marcus Wheaton. I know the list is quite endless. But they were always structured to get out of. And this team, from the get-go, since Pace was hired, says was going to be built through the draft. And finding those quick fixes in free agency, it just doesn't happen. They weren't in position to find quick fixes. Now they're getting closer to that position right now, especially when you got the most important position in quarterback kind of locked in. Is this the year where they change their tact? I don't know. Maybe one more year away?
I still don't think that they ideally want to ever spend a lot of money in free agency, though. You got to start re-signing your own draft picks. And I think they'd much rather, like Eddie Goldman should get a contract extension. Adrian Amos is still interesting to me because he certainly came on strong, but it's really only 1 year production. But guys like that, ideally, that's where you're spending your money because not only are you rewarding your own players, but you know those players better. You know the players who have been in your building since you drafted them. That's the unknown with these guys from other organizations. You can do the homework. You do a physical. You don't know everything that player has been dealing with over the last 4 years. And so there's always risk involved, a lot of risk.
I mean, some work out. Danny Trevathan's worked out. Obviously, John Fox's relationship helped with that. Akeem Hicks worked out. Obviously, Ryan Pace's relationship there helped out. So there's ways to offset some of that unknown, some of that uncertainty, some of the risk that's involved with free agent decisions. But you're not building your team that way. The best teams in football are not built that way. The best teams are able to supplement their teams. Look what the Patriots did last year. They needed a cornerback, so they went and spent money out on Stephon Gilmore because they needed a cornerback. They were able to spend a lot of money at that time to really improve their team where they drastically need it. The Bears aren't that. They have a lot of needs. Their quarterback situation is still in its infancy. Mr. Trubisky has a lot to prove. You can get to that point where the Packers can add a Julius Peppers late in his career and spend some money. The Bears just aren't there yet.
Yeah, and very rarely does a free agent put you over the hump. Like Peyton Manning in Denver is one example of it happening, but that almost never happens, especially at the quarterback position. There's rare cases. There's the Saints managing to get Drew Brees, but these are guys that you draft, that you develop. That's what you want to do.
Look at the Denver team. I mean, I know this is going long now, but they're ready. Yeah, you're right. They had Demaryius Thomas, draft pick. They had Von Miller, draft pick. They had Derek Wolfe, draft pick. And you can go on and on and on. Built through the draft. Some of their best players are from the draft. Some of their all-pro players are through the draft. The Bears aren't there yet. You can add a high-value, expensive free agent to something like that when you have something established. The Bears aren't there.
You know, it's too bad we weren't sitting like 15 rows lower as we're recording this, because we could actually be in the background of Ian Rappaport's NFL Network shot right now, and people watching the NFL Network could watch the Hogan Johns podcast getting recorded.
The interesting thing about this is he's recording to our right. He's on the big screen in front of us, and on a little screen to the left, and on that little screen all the way over there. So Rap Sheet is quite literally everywhere in front of us live.
And he's standing on a box. Which I hope you didn't hear me say that. He's talking right now in the air. All right, we should get out of here, though. Good to be back. Good to do another podcast. This will be heating up. We'll have a few more, free agency's coming up here. We'll at least have one more before the new league year starts. Certainly, when they start signing guys, we'll be there for you. We'll put it out, and we'll have the reaction from Hallis Hall once we have an idea of who the Bears are going to sign here in the next couple weeks. Should be a lot of fun.
It's good to be back, yeah. Mr. White Sox.
I know.
You're going to leave us behind for the promising Southside Hitmen?
I know our listeners are really nervous about the podcast. I promise you, it's not going anywhere. There's going to be, admittedly, probably some difficulties and hurdles for us to get over, but the podcast is not going anywhere.
I'm just looking forward to really crabby episodes of you. An overworked Adam Hogue complaining about a bad Bears loss. That makes for great podcasting.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, we'll get out of here. This was episode 147 of Hogue and Johns. Yeah, maybe a little overworked. Maybe a little tired right now. Gotta get some coffee. Gonna get some coffee here in Indianapolis. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us, WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Plenty of reaction here from the NFL Combine. Johns will have a ton of coverage all week long. And if you haven't already, check out Sports Central on WGNradio.com. It's live every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 2 p.m., and as a podcast. So if you enjoy this podcast, check it out. Search WGN Sports Central on iTunes, Google Play Store, and that's where this podcast is too, Hogan Johns. Subscribe, rate, and review both of them. We appreciate you doing that. We'll talk to you sometime in the next couple weeks before the new league year begins.